friend of mine is big on continuity. He likes making things fit. And he realized that...
He's obsessive compulsive. Okay, I get that.
But if you take Robots in Disguise, and you assume that Beast Wars Megatron never put Megatron Spark back, based on that footage never having been showed on the show,
yeah,
then RID would be the new Generation 1.
No.
Oh, God, don't say that.
It makes sense to me, and maybe they're looking at it from that kind of...
No,
that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
I'm making an executive decision here. No.
No, that's the worst. I hate that. Oh, my God. That, I can... Oh, my God, that's awful.
I thought it was kind of interesting.
So basically, you have Beast Wars, Robots in Disguise, then Beast Machines, and... Basically,
yeah, because that explains why Primal and Megatron and Rhinox were different when they rematerialized in the Beast Machines timeline, is because they were adapted to this new timeline because they didn't have their Optimus and their Megatron.
That hurts my brain.
Don, if you say another word, I'm going to verbally throttle you.
Hey, you. Subscribe. Watching Radio Free Cybertron. Transformers! Hosted by Brian Kilby with JD Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit TFormers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron for March 6, 2013. I was going to say it's episode 303. But I'm waiting for confirmation from Paul, who was the unofficial continuity advisor. He has the RFC story Bible, and he is going to make sure that everything is A-OK. So,
Paul is our Orion Pax.
Paul is awesome. Paul is our Orion Pax. Next to me is our Dion. So, yeah, so actually, I wanted to start using the numbers for the episode around episode 300, but I kind of... forgot, sort of. So, yeah. So, as soon as we know for sure from Paul what numbered episode next week is, we'll start using the numbers. So, let's see here. This week on the show, Amy is back. Amy,
woohoo! I'm here. Yes,
welcome back on the live show. You're here just about every week, but not every week live. So it's good to see you. You're in like darkness, but as Don said, you look great.
Thanks.
So, Don was like majorly hitting on Amy.
Yeah,
I know you weren't Don. I'm picking on you.
I know you are.
You're my friend. I can give you grief.
There you go.
Don, I am so going to hook you up with that chick that we saw at the Chinese place. One of them. We saw lots. We saw lots of them, but we're going to go back. And I think the chick that was running the hibachi. Yeah, I'm going to introduce you next time. This is my friend Don. He's fantastic.
It's this swinging social scene down there in North Carolina.
Oh, God. I can't tell you how...
I want to introduce you to the girl at the Chinese place.
I can't tell you...
The hibachi.
I can't tell you how many times that people that I know have gone to hit on the chicks at the Chinese restaurant. It's pretty sad.
Right. Just make sure I haven't been driving as soon as I'm driving down there. Because y'all have heard what happened after flying in last year. I had trouble staying awake at a nightclub, so...
That's okay. It was late. It was like 3 a.m., so... also, Don, so welcome back, Don. You were here... Was it last week where you were out, or was it the week before?
Week before.
You were sick.
Food poisoning, yes.
Yeah, so how's Massey this week?
He is in a box sleeping, and I'm recharging his batteries for his automatic laser pointer if he gets a little rowdy.
That's good.
Did you ever consider just, you know, strapping the laser pointer to his head so it's always pointing down in front of him?
No, because he's addicted to the handheld one I've got as it is. When I leave, he will sit at the spot where he last saw the pointer dot and wait for it to come back.
Okay.
Another thing I thought of lately was tying it to like a ceiling fan and putting the fan on low. Just want to do a slow circle on the carpet.
You know the cat would eventually run itself to death, right? That's what XV wants.
The trick is to see how long it would take.
Yeah, and of course, XV is here this week.
He is?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hopefully XV will samba for us after a while.
Probably not.
No, I don't think XV dances.
There's not much room here for that.
No. And Rob's back. Rob wasn't here last week because there's a third-party roundup, and Rob has made a point to skip those indefinitely. Mm-hmm. Probably for the best. I have to have people on who I don't buy most of the stuff, so basically Diecast and Don were running that last week. Thank God you buy everything, Don.
No, I do. I don't. I didn't buy Planet Genesis.
Yet.
I have no desire for it, especially with as we reported last week, with the Fans Project spinoff group doing animated figures.
When I introduced Don to my wife, he tried to impress her by showing her all the third-party toys that were in his car at the time. It was pretty impressive.
How many third-party toys were in his car at the time?
At least four or five.
And why were they in his car at the time?
Because he just picked them up like from the mail or something.
No, I brought them down to show the guy, Jermaine, who runs Acme Comics in Greensboro, because he is looking at starting to get into third party, and I was showing him some pros and cons of what to look for.
Was he impressed?
Yeah. Yes, Jermaine. I told him to get City Commander if he's going to get anything.
Yeah.
Get City Commander. That's a solid piece to get for a classic shelf. And then probably one of the smaller figures, not mini bots, you know, something like that, just to ease into it. You don't want to start buying a combiner as your first piece.
But another good choice would be.
Oh, when did you get that?
Oh, last sweet. Week.
I hate you. I hate you so much.
Well, XV, what do you think about function?
It's pretty cool. I like a lot of what's being done with it. I can see where it could be expanded on a little bit, but I'm hoping as the first figure in the line, the other ones will kind of follow through on development.
So you typically only buy things when you can get like a deal, basically, right? Did you get a deal on that, or did you just bite the bullet and pay the $65 bucks?
Yeah, I mean, I paid retail for it. But I think it's worth it, so...
Ah.
Damn
you.
I've got pre-orders in for the next two, also.
Okay, that's high praise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I really like what they're doing with this series, and hopefully they will move beyond the first five.
Okay.
I'm hoping we'll get the Headmaster Juniors with some with better heads.
Yeah, if they continue this series, I think that's pretty likely. And, you know, maybe get some Power Masters out of it.
And I wouldn't mind seeing Target Masters with articulated as well. Like, Point Blank with Peacemaker is one of my favorite Target Masters. But
well,
there's no
before they move on to that, though, I really want them to get on the horror cons.
Yes. I second that.
Yeah.
You know... As involved as they were, I don't really think they need that much of an update as compared to some of the other characters who didn't have, because they had extra flexibility being in the triple changers versus your standard blocky first four headmasters.
True. Although I would like to see them done in, you know, more modern styling where they could fit in with modern toys more. So, I mean, I get what you're saying, though.
How long until we get the third-party Fortress Maximus.
I'm sure you joke.
I am joking, but you probably...
If they go for the IDW design, they could easily do that as a Voyager-sized figure.
Yeah, that's... what? That? Why did you have to say that?
OK, Okay, I'm going to have to find pictures of this.
Void besides Scorponok, though.
What, that too? I was thinking about that. So let's go ahead. I want to go ahead and jump into the news, because this is really mostly a news-packed show this week. So I want to start off with a rumor. So, but I've seen this posted lots of different places.
Yeah.
What?
Is this Transformers U again?
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you. I'm glad that made that post entirely worth it. That was like 9 years ago. Thank you. So XV is commenting on, while I pull this up, XV is commenting on a troll post that I posted, Alt Toys Transformers, like 9-10 years ago. Where basically I posted a rumor that the next Transformers line was going to be basically a line of fully functioning exosuits that could transform. I was not on drugs.
Wouldn't it be cool if they actually had done that, though?
They wouldn't have, but as I said before, I found out that Patrick Stewart that supposedly was leaking stuff to all Toys Transformers was a real Hasbro employee. That was verified. And if you go to yojo.com, you can actually see photos that of unreleased prototypes that he had posted to the internet. So his legacy lives on. It's true.
It's amazing.
It is. It's really true. But the rumor that I wanted to start off with is we may be getting some new reissues of stuff that I didn't actually expect to ever see, including G1 Star Saber, Diatlas, and some Galaxy Force figures, Galaxy Convoy and Galaxy Sonic Bomber.
Wing Saber.
Yeah, and let's see here, Optimus Primal from Beast Wars, and then I guess a new figure, which would be the from the what are they called? The Nike shoe former. What are they actually called?
Sports
label?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, sports label. Special Air Jordan X Transformers Black Convoy, which is kind of funny.
Are Air Jordan's still a thing?
I think so. Probably.
I'm not into, like, the whole shoe culture, so...
But it's cool that we're getting a reissue of the Beast Wars toy, which, in a way, is kind of... almost seems unheard of, but it's not like they don't have those molds, and it's not like those molds haven't been brought back in one capacity or another.
And the great thing about that toy is that, as simple as the transformation is, it still holds up really well in robot mode to what we have today.
Yeah, it's a very nice toy. Mm-hmm. But what surprises me is Star Saber and Diatlas, but no mention of Victory Leo. If Star Saber is coming out, you would think that they would release Victory Leo so that they could form a Victory Saber, but...
They may want to see how... Because I think between the two, Star Saber would probably be a bit more well-known.
Oh, I think so, too. But more well-known than Diatlas?
Well, Diatlas just had the candy toy. So I'm sure that drug up a lot of people like, hey, that's a cool design. Who is that? They went to Walkie's TF Wiki or whatever the case may be, and found out who Diatlas
but,
was.
But we've had a Victory Saber from Robot Masters. We had was there a Kabaya Victory Leo as well?
I think there was.
Maybe?
Yeah, but there was definitely a Robot Masters version of that toy. So you
there was, and apparently they're awful.
I have them. Not that bad.
Yeah. Again, old man here got figures before they got expensive. I picked up Diatlas. He is not a bad figure, but he is he's definitely a late G1 toy. You've got a lot of positives there, but he is not for everybody.
You can sure see how they transitioned into Brave, can't you?
Yeah, but again, Brave is its own aesthetics, and I wish more people would get into Brave to see what it's like.
Yeah, at first I thought that Galaxy Convoy seemed kind of odd, but, you know, we did just get the Year of the Snake Optimus Prime, but Armada Prime is not getting any love, so...
Which is too bad, because apparently some people are finding that it's having gold plastic problems.
Ooh.
So a reissue would kind of be helpful.
Yeah, I'm one of the people that... I'm not a big fan of Energon Optimus, but I'm not a huge fan of the Armada Prime either, except for the Deluxe, which is phenomenal. Love that toy so much.
It's the thing that got Rob back into Transformers.
Yeah, it's Galaxy Convoy. It's a better toy. I don't think it's a super great toy, but it's.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's good. Go ahead, Rob. Hey, Don. Sorry, pardon me.
I like Galaxy Force Prime well enough, but I'd much rather see a reissue of Fire Convoy. Just because it's, you know, such a, you know, the entire issue is offending a lot of collectors by this point. So, you know, if they're going to reissue a Prime, that's the one I want to see.
I wonder if that mold is even still in a usable state.
I'm hoping that's what they use for BotCon for Optimus Prime. But that's just me.
I don't know. I mean, it's not like
they wore out the deluxe car molds from Robots in Disguise, and they did so many reissues of the Fire Convoy mold between Robots in Disguise and Universe.
Let's see here. So, what? I mean, there was it a Costco version, or was it a Sam's version of?
It was a Sam's Club. I've got that one. The Sam's Club was in yellow.
But what else came? What other reissues of that came out? I don't remember.
I believe there actually was also a. It was either a Costco or another Sam's Club 2-pack of Robots in Disguise Prime and Ultra Magnus in their original colors, but in Cybertron packaging, I want to say, or very close to it.
I don't remember that one, but it's entirely possible.
I do, because that's how my brother got them.
Okay.
He's since sold them, but yeah, he had those.
Yeah, but I mean, it's... I'm certain they could refresh the mold somehow or just basically recast a new one.
Well, they can, but, you know, it has to be...
They have to be worth the effort.
Right, exactly. That's what I was trying to figure out how to say.
Yeah.
You know, for some stuff, it is worth it. I mean, they figured they could get mileage out of Devastator. They recast the Constructicons as for where they're actually going to get that from, since they've only released two versions so far. I don't know, but...
They have many years left to do that.
But I'm not sure they're going to see it's worth it for Fire Convoy.
It's a very generic version of Optimus Prime. So if they refresh it, they could potentially remold it later on.
Maybe.
So I could see some tweaking done on that to turn it into something else. Amy, I want to mention this to Amy, because I know Amy's not like a huge toy fan. But as far as, like, Optimus Prime and the later versions, like the post-G1 Primes, do you have any of those? Or have you ever picked any of – or have you ever, like, paid much attention to those?
I don't really have any of them, but I've gone to a couple of, like, meetups here in Phoenix where I've – like, people have brought theirs, and I'm like, huh, I've really been tempted to pick up, you know, a few things that have been around. I think the reissue that they did of the Optimus Prime, I was actually thinking about getting it. I just haven't broken down to get it yet.
I think you need Year of the Snake Optimus Prime. I think that would be a great place to start.
Starting point.
Epic.
Maybe if I actually get a chance to, like, you know, play with one of them and, you know, pick it up and transform it, and, you know.
What you need to do is go visit Ender. And then you can have the sampling of every Optimus Prime that exists.
That's true.
That's very true. That's very true.
Sorry, Don, you were going to say something?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, if they're going to reissue anything from Cybertron, I know a lot of fans would like the Megatron mold reissued either in the Galvatron's black and silvers, or make him Galvatron in the purples. Because the second coloring of that mold was very hard to find for a lot of people.
Or if they really want to, like, troll us, they could just say that the Metroplex we're going to get is, like, a leader class, and just reissue that and say screw you to the Titan class version that's coming out.
I would have to kill people then.
But he has a staff.
I'm not casually Don said that, too. I would have to kill people.
I don't hate that figure. I don't like it. But he's like, you can have him like at two different heights. You can, like, if he's not tall enough this way, you can stretch him out.
Great. He's Stretch Armstrong. What do you do? Sorry, I'm
looking around my room for mine.
I just do not like that toy. I'm sorry.
Best Don quote of the night.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, okay. But yeah, so, again, so if we're getting these toys, they're going to put the effort toward that. I will definitely get Star Saber, because the only Star Saber I've ever had was the knockoff. Star Saber is one of the few figures that I didn't pull the trigger on when it was when I was like dropping that much cash on stuff. Diatlas, I don't think I could justify Diatlas.
Well, depending on the price, Brian, I think, because if they do Diatlas, they might do Sonic Bomber and Roadfire. And Big Powered is an impressive piece put together.
So back in the day, these would probably run about $100. Probably now, I'm guessing $150, $160, $170. I can't justify that.
Oh, you mean like on eBay if you went and bought?
Well, I mean like secondary market in the U.S.
If you could get a Star Saber that wasn't yellowed with the saber and the Brainmaster and the gun, if you could get it for $200, you'd be lucky.
Well, I'm talking about the reissue.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
But I mean, if you putting it that way, if you know, if I really want the figure, if I could possibly justify $200 for a banged up, crapped out one, you know, why not spend $150, $200 on a good one? So, but if these sell, I would expect eventually maybe to see Overlord, which seems to be the one that everyone wants.
Well, you know, that I agree, because as popular as Last Stand on the Wreckers is, I cannot see them not getting a new toy of that out somehow or a reissue.
Well, but you have to think about it, too, that a lot of people who are into the big ticket stuff for their collections, you know, an Overlord's close to the top of the list for what they're looking to get at conventions, or just, you know, casually trolling eBay for looking for anything close to a deal on it. It's a really high demand item among the adult collectors, and a lot of this Asian stuff seems to be targeted that way.
And it's a nice toy. It really is. It's a good Transformers from that era. It's definitely not a bad toy. It's
and it's huge.
It's big.
And I've always said if Takara wants to make a buttload of money very easily, all they have to do is reissue the Lyle Kaiser gift set. That will make them more money than they
can. I thought you were going to say Lyle Convoy for a second, then I thought, no. Please, no.
I'm just saying that Lyle Kaiser, the gift set goes for over $1,000 to $1,500.
I just had a terrible idea and a terrible thought.
Well, what else is new?
Masterpiece Lyle Convoy. That will eventually happen.
No. Look at it this way. They would do that, and it would be a decent toy because it wouldn't be the original. Because if you think about it, they've already redone it once and made a good toy out of it in the Robot Masters one.
Yeah, I guess.
How do they have all this stuff just sitting right there within arm's reach?
Huh?
You've always got the exact toy that comes up right there off screen.
So did you end up picking that up on eBay because I didn't sell you mine?
No, I got from somebody on AllSpark for like $10.
Oh, yeah. That's okay. Cool. actually, though, if we got a Masterpiece Beast anything, I would want it to have fur.
Yeah, I could see that.
That would be awful. Okay.
Like, you know, it'd be like Masterpiece Optimus Primal, and at least the beast parts would be like flocked, if not, you know, rooted hair.
Yeah.
God, you know what's great, Brian? Just as you were saying that, Ender in the chat is saying that the worst part about Beast Wars Masterpiece Prime is that they would put fur on them.
Oh, that's awesome.
Or, you know, we would get Masterpiece Dinobot, and it would have feathers.
Oh, that would be awesome.
And I'm just horribly reminded, Brian, of the whole debate on Panthor for Matty Collector being flocked or not. Then the massive flame wars that was about that.
I never got it. Was it flocked?
Yeah.
Mossman was.
It was pseudo-flocked.
Pseudo-flocked?
Pseudo-flocked. pseudo-flock.
You want to clarify that one for me, Don?
Yeah, I'm curious.
Great minds think alike, but they think in opposite ways.
It,
okay.
I didn't buy it because I haven't bought much Mad at Mattel stuff at all from He-Man. It was flock, but it wasn't. It was a very tight knit.
Man,
flocky, not the big bushy.
Did it almost have like the feeling of felt or something like that?
That's yeah, like, kind
of,
yeah,
kind of like a chia plant that only grew like maybe a fourth of an inch.
Okay, so next up in the news, we have photos of Masterpiece Prowl in Blue Street.
Smooth transition, Brian.
Yes.
So,
yes.
This looks nice. I actually did not expect it to look.
It does look nice. I was even thinking I might want to get one.
I pre-ordered it.
And I don't even know why I want to get one. It just looks so nice.
It's Prowl.
Prowl, yeah. Especially right now in Rit, you know? Hey.
I don't really care that much about Prowl, honestly.
Me neither. Except for Beast Wars, Transmetals 2 Prowl. But me neither. I don't really care about Prowl at all, and that's a gorgeous toy.
The only thing to do with Prowl is to stand a Grimlock in front of it so he can be telling him, no, I'm leader, not you.
It's so damn close to the character model, and unlike Sideshow, Prowl has a decent looking character model.
Yes,
so.
that's very true. Here's Blue Streak.
Sideshow is a big pile of boring rectangles. Prowl is actually interesting looking.
Yeah.
Oh, Rob, you send all letters to Rob Clay, care of.
One thing I've always appreciated about Prowl, his design basically turns kibble into art. And that's just I've always liked the design. Never cared so much about the character, but
there is a reason they have reused that pattern for Transformers for the last 30 years. I mean, it's the same basic kibble scheme you will see on movie Bumblebees. You'll see it everywhere, and there's a reason. It looks really good.
Well, and I mean, even independent of that, too, you know, Jazz the toy worked on the same basic pattern already.
Yeah.
You know, it was something that worked and looked good, and they just kind of kept going with it.
Mm-hmm. This is a buy.
Now, the pictures that I'm seeing in Big Bad, the Prowl does not show the shoulder guns, but Blue Streak does. I'm wondering if it's engineered so that way they're hidden away so you can PF, like, animation model versus toy model.
I thought I read somewhere that said that they had actually removed them. Like, you can take them off and put them back on.
Yeah, I would imagine they'd be like options.
You would have to.
Makes sense.
Although, Universe Prowl, you know, the launchers can be folded away, too, without taking them off. So, I mean, the Masterpiece could do that.
But really, the less the Masterpiece Masterpiece takes from Universe Prowl, the better.
Well, yes, I'm not saying that it should, use it as a design model, just that the Deluxe toy is capable of one thing, so a Masterpiece that's a little bit bigger should be able to at least match that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Making you want to hurl it through a window.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why I haven't picked up one of the Prowls that, the versions of Prowl already is because every single time I've seen his feet, they kind of look like they're not able to hold him up. And this is the first one I've seen where I'm like, wow, okay, I like his feet because they actually look like he can stand up on those feet.
Mm-hmm. So. Universe's Prowl's feet will hold him up, Amy, but that's about all I can really recommend him for.
Yeah.
Definitely better holding off for the Masterpiece here.
But, like, if you just want to have Prowl standing around in robot mode, the Universe toy does that really well. It's just if you ever want it to be in vehicle mode again, you need to buy another copy of it and just have it in vehicle mode.
It's not worth
the effort of transforming.
Yeah, it's kind of like Beast Hunter's smokescreen, which, I'm so sad that's packaged in robot mode in a way, because then I can't actually do that. If I ever want one in car mode, I have to put in the hour and transform him.
Yeah.
Actually, and speaking of smoke screen, we don't have any photos yet, so.
Yeah. And for me, I'm still debating on which one I want to get. Blue Streak is not really a priority for me just because of the character.
They both look great, though.
Yeah, but Prowl and Smokescreen, I'm torn between the two. But I'm probably going to go with Smokescreen just because he is more colorful and he was in The Gambler, which is one of my favorite season 2 episodes.
It's like I haven't picked up Sideswipe or Red Alert yet, but if I'm going to pick one, it's going to be Red Alert.
So yeah. Now the obvious question here is, can we expect eHobby to deliver a Diaclone Blue Streak?
Oh.
Well, of course. I do not see that being even a problem. Heck, you could probably check with Hydra in 6 months and find out about that.
So what about the eventual hopefully masterpiece tracks that we get?
Oh God.
The only thing that would interest me there is if they did the alternate as Masterpiece Battle Ravage as an Alternators throwback.
Oh. I think they're... Go ahead.
I'll say, now, if they do a Masterpiece Tracks, I will buy two. And I will get mine signed by Michael McConaughey, and then I will give him one. Because I've gave him a Tracks. One year I gave him a Generations Tracks. The next year, I gave him a Cosmos that I had picked up, that Paladin had picked up for me, because he didn't have either one of his toys. And it would be just cool to make sure he gets a Masterpiece Tracks.
And then Diecast is pointing out in the chat that he's going to pass on anything Tracks, because that name just turned him off for some reason now.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Just, it took me a second to get that.
Well done, Diecast. Yeah.
Okay, can you explain for someone who doesn't get the joke?
You haven't been in the chat lately, have you, Don?
Well, I'm trying to go back and forth.
Well, no, we're not talking about anything in this specific chat. We're talking about the Trax.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Trax,
okay, yeah. Now...
Gotham is Prime?
Give the old man a minute to catch
Okay,
up.
Okay.
Yeah.
The hamster of my mind is tired.
But if I didn't sort of make the point though that I wanted to make before is if we get a Masterpiece Tracks, the alternate would be Road Rage,
right?
And that would be awesome.
But then we would have to have Masterpiece Skids right afterward to get Crosscut.
Oh God! I love a Masterpiece.
Actually, we would probably also get a yellow Masterpiece Tracks too.
Although, I guess you could just use Alternator Skids. That'd be close enough.
Pretty nice.
It would be close enough to the size of one of the car masterpieces, too.
I don't have one to compare by, but I don't have a Sideswipe. I guess he's the only one.
Shorter than you expect.
I would expect them really to be about the size of Vinyl Tech, so...
Actually, if I'm remembering the picture I saw right, Masterpiece Sideswipe is a little bit more than a head taller than Universe Sideswipe.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I was actually thinking Hound would be pretty well the Masterpiece version of Hound. Or close to it.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, all the Autobot cars would translate, I think, pretty well into the Masterpiece.
Well, I mean, they're all newer cars, so I think... I guess Hound is a newer version of a Jeep, but it's a Jeep.
But Jeep basically
look the
same.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Skids still passes for Skids because of that dinky little box thing he turns into.
Yeah.
But I think the next one we're probably going to see... probably be a Wheeljack, just because of the way the character has been showing up in Prime. Plus, he's also a fan favorite. So,
okay,
that's reasonable.
And then you get the problem of the recolors are pretty obscure for that. Yeah, I think at least at first we're going to focus on what they can get.
You wouldn't want a Marlboro or however you say it.
I was actually thinking of was it Slicer?
Oh, Slicer. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But again, that's like e-hobby fodder there. It's so obscure, they can't really do that at normal retail.
Marlboro would be the e-hobby. Or...
Well, I mean, either one of those would be e-hobby fodder. It's not... The Marlboro one is not different enough to sell, and Slicer is too obscure for the Japanese market.
I was thinking, actually, with them coming off of these three molds... that are identical except for color, plus whatever eHobby does if they do the blue streak, they may balance that out with a new mold so the fans don't keep getting the same mold three and four times in a row.
And XV, you just said that it's too obscure for the Japanese market. I point you to the Minibot set of the GoBots.
Wasn't that also eHobby?
Yes, but I thought you were saying that it was even too obscure for eHobby.
No, Slicer and Marlboro are fine for eHobby.
Okay.
But to go to retail, like actual stores.
Oh, no, yes. That would be like a one use.
I was making. Sorry, I didn't make that clear.
Sorry, yeah, that would be a one. That definitely one use set to retail.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. We're good. We're on the same page.
Okay, but on that line, considering for recolors they can sell in stores in Japan, what would be the next logical choice for the small masterpieces?
Let's see here. I guess...
Well, Wind Charger tailgate, Huffer pipes.
Masterpiece Wind Charger would be amusing to me at the very least. I think it ended up being even smaller than Sideswipe and Friends.
I think we would have to go to something again. And back when we had the Sharktacon guys on, we had sort of some disagreements on this. But if Masterpiece is going to be like the perfect version of the character with no compromises, we're kind of at an impasse. But if they can put something out that can sort of be squeezed into something else, then, you know, there's room to, you know, play. But if it's going to be something that it's going to be like this is the definitive version of this character and we're not going to compromise, you know, past like what we've got, there's not a whole lot of wiggle room. I mean, you'd have to go to like start doing Masterpiece, another line of Masterpiece Seekers or something. But I mean, I know they just tweaked that Starscream mold, but
it's
yeah.
Well, the only other Autobot cars I can think of that could possibly get a hat trick of repaints would be Inferno, Grapple, and Hauler.
There you go.
I was thinking of like cars.
I'd Ratchet too. That would be an easy set.
Ratchet would work.
Yeah, and also it's been long enough after the iGear Ratchet has come out that, it wouldn't look like they were trying to, you know, have two things on the shelf at the same time.
That's a great point, because I was literally still thinking in, like, the Binal Tech mode, where I was thinking of, like, cars that were, like, good cars. something that would be, like, you know, recognizable as a certain model of a certain kind of car. But, yeah, those are both great.
Four molds, Brian, because you could redo Artfire. If they wanted to go that route.
Yeah.
So I have one of those around here too, the United Art Fire. To Don's point earlier, that one's not within easy reach.
There you go. I'd be willing to bet we got Art Fire before Hauler, matter of fact.
Yeah.
So I guess what else? Did you mention Hoist?
Hoist Trailbreaker.
Yeah, Hoist and Trailbreaker. I guess he could do, Jazz and Ricochet.
Yeah. But, I mean, I really want to see a Mirage. I love Mirage, but,
I mean, if they're determined to go through with this, at some point they will have to get to the characters that there aren't recolors for, or at least not obvious ones.
Yeah.
You know, Wheeljack, Sunstreaker, Mirage, they're all going to happen eventually.
Well, I'm thinking what they're doing is kind of like what third parties are doing with, you know, like repaints, like they're giving us repaints, but they're still unique characters, but they're saving money so that they can do those unique molds spaced in between the multiple ones they do multiples of. That way it breaks up the flow of the same character two or three times in a row, and the money they make off the previous three will help pay for the uniqueness of that one mold.
Yeah, if they can juggle the books like that on the average sales, you know, that would be a great plan. If they're stuck accounting for each individual toy, it gets harder.
Yeah, but I guess there are opportunities, and no reason to really list them out. But like, we got a comic version of Grimlock and the animation version of Grimlock. There's probably other opportunities where they could take they could probably get two versions out. Well, I was going to say like two versions out of Ratchet and Ironhide, but why would they do that? That would just be cruel. I was going to say
they would do remolds of them. One is cartoon accurate, one's toy accurate.
Yeah, that would be awful. Nobody would want a toy accurate version.
I would.
Now, wasn't Ironhide black in Japan? That'd be a good e-hobby exclusive.
Black Ironhide because there was a Diaclone color one, but they did it in reference to the movie where Ironhide is black.
So going back to sort of the discussion about reissues, if they wanted to do something like a Masterpiece Scorponok, we could get a couple of versions of that, like Black Zarak and everything.
Synergon Scorponok.
I would buy that. I love that toy.
Actually, I'd just love to see a third party do a headmaster upgrade for Energon Scorponok, now that you mention it.
Yeah.
Okay. As Black Zarek?
No, whatever.
Scorponok, yeah.
Whichever.
Okay, let's...
they're both. I'm good.
Okay, let's go ahead and jump to the next item, because I want to...
We're taking a while.
Taking a while.
This is fun.
I love, but it's a fun news week. Possibilities with all of these stories, unlike some stories are like, oh, this is there's going to be a new version of Bumblebee. that's great. So Megaplex, we actually got photos of Megaplex.
We were having so much fun too.
How many people were not expecting the rarest Voyager mold, as far as that goes, to be in the set?
I had no idea. It makes sense now that I see it, but it wasn't necessarily something that I was anticipating.
Well, okay. There was clues laid out beforehand, which basically pointed to Megatron or Megaplex being a Voyager toy. Because they said something to the effect of this character will be the size it should have been originally, which we not a basic, And there's only so many Voyager jet molds they can actually use. Most of the movie ones are off limits for one thing. John?
Yeah, I have not seen that bit of information, so I apologize for that. Came and went so fast around in this area. I've never seen a Skyquake yet. I'm looking at the various stores.
Well,
I'm not sure Skyquake ever made it to the U.S., honestly.
Well, you just mentioned Skyquake, and I just want to point out, you think they'll have another version of this as Skyquake? Because, of course, Skyquake was the mold that Machine Wars Starscream is based on.
Actually, Skyquake has been found at Ross's.
Oh, okay.
Really? When? Recently?
I have seen a picture in the past 2 weeks. I can't remember where, but it had a Ross label on it.
Tomorrow at work, I'm going to go look for Skyquake, Grimlock, and Blaster at Ross.
A bunch of Grimlock and Blaster yesterday.
At Ross?
No, at Walmart.
No, it was Marshall's. Marshall's is where in pre-show. Was it Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah, where those were found. I could totally go for a couple more Blasters. Great toy.
But I'll be honest, I think the inclusion of that mold is going to bring a lot more people into looking at getting that, even as an icon package, just because that mold works as Megaplex.
Icon package?
Well, I'm just saying if they can't go to the
To get it bagged? To get the bag? To get, like, one of the second...
The
non-attendee figures? Okay.
Yeah, the sets, yeah.
It's nice looking. It's a lot nicer looking than I figured it would be.
The only problem I have with Megaplex... Actually, no, I have two problems with Megaplex, but the main problem I have with Megaplex is that they went to such lengths to recreate the appearance of the original toy, they didn't account for this isn't a 3-inch tall figure anymore.
Let me pull that up. That's a good point.
They recreated how the robot looks with bare unpainted plastic colors.
To TFU.info.
The other problem, of course, being that they could not put a new head on it.
Yeah. Oh, they could have took the GDO Megatron head and threw it on there.
And that does fit, but you have to make an adapter for the neck because it's basically putting two sockets together.
And the adapter could have been sold separately a couple of days after for $5 each. I'm kidding.
But no, from what was being implied on Twitter after they revealed this, it seems like the Dreadwing mold became available to them to use very late in the development process for the set. So it probably got to them after the point where they had to lock in the new heads they wanted made. So I'm not going to automatically assume that they were just like, you know what, this can just pass without a new head. Let's put it on something else instead. You know, they probably were not able to get a new head on this from the way this worked out.
I really want this now with a GDO Megatron head.
It doesn't look too bad.
And I'm sure a third party like Dr. Wu is probably already planning something like that, Brian. It would not surprise me.
It's possible because I think there is art by Josh Burcham, I think, where Megaplex was depicted with two swords. So an easy upgrade kit for that would be a more Megatronish head sculpt and an extra sword to go with it.
So, overall, what do y'all think about the set? You know, Brian and I are more, I don't know, Brian, I'm not trying to speak for you, but we're more pro Fun Pub, just trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. Would you say?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. So what do y'all think?
You know, Strika and Obsidian look pretty cool, but overall, I'm just not thrilled with this box set.
I'm not
sure if I'm going to get it either.
When it was announced, it was me versus everyone else on in favor of this.
I didn't want you feeling alone, Brian.
Yeah, I'm a little torn.
Which one are you torn on?
All of it.
It's not just one figure. It's all of it.
It's kind of like when you're learning something really complex, and you realize that you don't quite get it. Like three quarters of the way into it, I get it, and I don't get it. I don't know if it's me. I don't know if it's the intent. I don't know what it is, but there's just something about it that doesn't completely click.
Well, I was listening to another Transformers podcast, and they don't come out as often as Brady for Cybertron does, and they mentioned something about the earlier G2 set that I had talked about and similar. Basically, they're trying to capture the spirit of Machine Wars, and like they did for the G2 set, but those characters aren't exactly these Machine Wars.
And the G2 set wasn't purely G2 either.
Exactly, but it was a spirit though. So, you know, I think some people were expecting a tighter. These were all Machine War characters. These were all Machine War characters. It's more like the spirit.
G2, though, at least as a concept, I think it was a little more clear-cut than this. This is just a little too nebulous.
Well, and when they announced that the storyline to go with this was going to be set in their Wings of Honor continuity,
yeah,
it became clear to a lot of people, okay, there's going to be Machine Wars elements included, but it's also going to be populated by a lot of the other stuff in the surrounding fiction. You know, I don't think a lot of people are surprised at this point that, you know, 3/5 of the box are Machine Wars characters and whatever they end up throwing into the at show sets you can buy too.
So reading the chat, I have to ask, Rob, what do you think?
No comment.
Okay.
Well, I wasn't trying to be Rob on the spot. I just was curious to what y'all think. What y'all thought after this last reveal?
I mean, yeah, the spirit of Machine Wars is random recolors of random toys thrown together under one header, in which case almost every BotCon set is Machine Wars.
Basically,
the things that are actually based on Machine Wars concepts that we've seen so far, lukewarm. I'm not going to regret missing the opportunity to go and buy this set.
Things I like about BotCon sets are when they take like a mold that, and they like do a clever twist on it to turn it into another character. And like, I can see where, you know, they were thinking about this or thinking about that. Mm-hmm. And in this case, there's nothing there. It's kind of like, oh.
You know, I think FunPub has, like, really hit it strong 3 years since they've been doing BotCon. 2006, 2007, and...
2010.
I was thinking 2011 with the SunnyCon set.
Oh. Yeah, okay. I can see that.
I mean, as far as having, like, a focused theme and really sticking with it for the sets, those are the 3 years that they really pulled that off really strong. Yeah, 2010 was great because I like the stuff they produced for that. And, you know, I'm slowly accumulating the stuff from that year. But at the same time, as a G2 set, it's a little bit weak. Because most of it is the Euro recolors.
Yeah. I'm
Whenever somebody thinks about things that BotCon have done well, the animated set's high up there. The classic set is usually the top of the list and then followed right by Beast Wars. Because those are the things they really hit strong. Everything else is the random assortment of whatever they can come up with.
Andrew just said, no, I'm not bitter about that Laser Prime box art on that half-assed repaint. No, no childhood trauma at all. Sorry.
Oh, the sarcasm.
I love that. Okay. But yeah, so I think we can all agree that we, yeah. Okay, let's go ahead and jump to, what do I have list here? Oh, yeah. This is sort of interesting. Did everyone see the display from Hasbro at the Australia Hobby Toy Fair?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Have we gotten confirmation yet before now that that Blitzwing does in fact have three faces? Because he does.
This was the first, and it's also the first time we saw the bio on the packaging, mm-hmm. which basically pegs it as the animated incarnation of the character.
I haven't actually read it yet, so okay. So how, without reading it out to the people, what does it basically say?
The same thing animated said.
Well, there you go.
Multiple personality disorder, more or less.
Pretty much, yeah.
And I'm fine with that because if G1 Blitzwing had a personality, if you asked me right now what it was, I could not tell you.
And see, that's the thing, too. Like, for me, when we saw Blitzwing, the first thing I asked is, okay, where is the high school football coach accessory figure? Because to me, that is the most notable thing Blitzwing ever did in the G1 cartoon.
I think of him from Five Faces of Darkness.
And no, that was Octane.
Was it Octane? Oh. He wasn't...
There you go.
Wasn't...
No, it was Blitzwing.
Octane got the storyline they were setting up because he was the new toy.
I was thinking of him starving to death. He was wanting the Energon that... I was thinking of him starving. He's in there.
Oh, you weren't thinking of where he... gave the Autobots information.
No. I was just thinking of him starving with all the other Decepticons.
Everybody was starving.
But I think of him specifically being there. Sorry.
Yes, that's Blitzwing's personality. He was there that one time.
he shot Kickback by accident in Transformers the movie.
Mm-hmm. See, that's why I focus on Triple Takeover, because it's the only time Blitzwing really did something for himself.
I'm just illustrating how pretty boring G1 Blitzwing is, pretty much.
Thank you.
Yes, and if we're going to take...
So much help with that.
I wonder if you can lose the turret with this. What? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and if we're going to go back and map, you know, personalities from later versions of the characters back onto the G1 characters who didn't have any, I'm fine with this.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, okay, and think about in animated, too, whenever in the cartoon they had Blitzwing use the G1 style face, mm-hmm. you know, there was no personality there either. That was mm-hmm. just the angry Blitzwing.
And here's Springer.
Springer still looks really good.
Yeah. You know, the weakest mode to me looks like the robot mode. Just because he's a little more lean than I would like to see, but it's still very strong. Mm-hmm. But I just imagine, you know, Springer sort of being built like a football player. And he is more like a quarterback, less like a linebacker.
He reminds me a lot of the comic book character that Nick Roach has kind of penned. So yeah.
Well, yeah, and that's what the toy's based on, the Nick Roach.
Yeah, I know. So that's why I'm really loving it. Is, you know,
and that's Ryan's wrong.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm going back here trying to remember what else I thought was really memorable from Toy Fair. I remember seeing Ender's post on T-Formers about the bricks of the buckets of Creos, which I think is pretty cool. But you really don't see much of anything in the photos, so it's hard to tell if there's actually anything, if it's just generic Creo or if it's branded to something. There are going to be 5 packs of Creons. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, Brian, on that Blitzwing, it's nice to get a tank that's not either the Bludgeon Mold or an H-Tank.
Oh, no kidding. I don't mind H-Tanks, but it's nice to get a new solid tank mold.
Yeah, because it looks like they all peg together really tightly, and so you don't have the floating kibble problem that from one mode to the other. Everything pegs together tightly, and you can believe that's a tank and not a jet with tank parts.
Yeah.
At least more so than with the other two Blitzwing toys.
But now, you know, I liked Universe Tankor. He wasn't perfect, but to me he wasn't bad.
Still haven't gotten that one.
I don't see it.
Somehow I've managed to miss all of the triple changers in classics. I didn't get Astro Train. I didn't get Tankor.
Well, you're not missing much with Octane.
Yeah, no. My Tankor / Octane is like in pieces somewhere in a tub, and it doesn't really bother me.
Because that toy just kind of does that anyway.
And again, okay. I kind of hate that Galvatron is the same way. If we don't see it in 2013, I would love to see another stab at Galvatron, say in 20.
Yeah, I hope so. One
Voyager sized.
More in line with the canon mode than the tank reimagining.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Or just one that doesn't, like, completely suck.
Well, if they would have done it to look more like the, you know, canon emplacement, it probably would have been a better toy in 2008.
You know, yeah. I just realized we've been going for an hour on, like, 4 news items. So
we had a good time.
It's been fun. It's been fun. Let's see here. So we got confirmation via Walmart of Sandstorm. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like also a new Megatron Prowl. And let's see.
Beast Hunter's Prowl was a surprise, but I had pretty much surmised that the last unannounced Voyager was going to be Megatron, because if you look at the wiki, they had a specific number of Voyagers planned. Pretty much all of the other ones are up there now, except for one. And the story in the Beast Hunter's instructions, early in a little prose stories written on the instructions, Megatron disappears.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. so I think it was pretty obvious he was going to show back at the end with a new body.
Makes sense. And let's see here. The Protectobots and Combaticons are Botshots. So, and I like the concept of the Botshots 5 packs. So I'm very good with that. I'm assuming they're going to probably be based off of older molds, but it would be nice if they're based on the newer molds that are a little divergent from the old play pattern for bot shots.
They could be.
Yeah, they could be. Actually, it's very possible that they could be. Or a mixture of both. Let's see here. What else? Oh. Sorry. I wanted to mention this. We got photos of Masterpiece Soundwave and Acid Storm.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That Acid Storm is gorgeous.
Oh, it is beyond gorgeous. I'm going to have to get it.
Oh, definitely. He is a must-buy along with Soundwave.
It looks so much better than the original Acid Storm.
Very toxic looking.
Yes, it's gorgeous. I'm pulling it up right now.
And yeah, Soundwave has a yellow visor.
Woohoo! But we're getting it. That's the important thing.
I like that he has a yellow visor.
I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, it's more interesting with the toys that have more diverse eye colors than either red or blue.
I like Grimlock, who has both.
Well, yeah, that was a good design choice, too, but Soundwave didn't go that way.
Yeah. But Acid Storm is gorgeous. It's a fantastic-looking toy.
Awesome-looking. Yeah.
Yeah, I want more like this, please.
That green slime kind of green.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like it's fairly close. Go ahead, Don.
He looks like someone who would wield acid as a weapon. He looks like he would just.
It's like
what his blaster should shoot.
He's like Reptile from Mortal Kombat.
And you know, this shade of green is a lot more in line with the randomly colored Seeker that they built the character off of from the cartoon.
Yeah, than what we actually got.
Right.
This is a very nice looking toy. Hasbro went way beyond with this than I really expected that mm-hmm. they would. And a couple reasons they probably did. One, nobody's going to buy this otherwise. And, you know, two, if they're going to go through the effort of actually putting it out, they need to sell it.
Yeah, I'm not really sure Acid Storm would have been my first choice for a $75 Masterpiece Seeker. But, you know.
I'm certain they expect to sell less of this than the other versions of this, except for maybe Skywarp eventually sold when it was on clearance.
Yeah, Skywarp eventually sold when Walmart got rid of all of them and they went to Ross.
Yeah.
I don't think that counts.
did it go to Ross? Because my Walmart just clearanced them out.
Ross or TJ Maxx.
I don't remember seeing them. Yeah. But I mean, you can still get Thundercracker right now. Like, I saw like five of them this weekend. So that doesn't really bode well. But I guess Toys R Us has already bought it, so we're going to get it.
Yeah. I don't know what's up with them, but...
You know, I'm not a big Sunstorm person. I always thought he was just kind of a MacGuffin plot device that got a lot more press time than he needed. But after seeing what the colors were on that Amazon Japan exclusive, I was kind of hoping that would be one of the ones they would bring over eventually over here. Because I like those colors on that mold.
Yeah, for one reason or another, Hasbro does not seem to want to use Sunstorm.
We got him.
Well, we got it in Universe in 2003 as a recolor of Armada Thrust.
We got a Cybertron Sunstorm. A Legends figure. Yeah.
And I think we got a Voyager animated Starscream recolor.
We did.
Yes.
But, you know, they haven't done really a G1 style one yet.
Yeah, Hasbro hasn't.
Right.
What was the Amazon Sunstorm that you're talking about? It wasn't a masterpiece, was it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, I'll see if I can't find a picture, Brian.
It came with Starscream's coronation gear too.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. I think I have seen this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unremarkable. It's boring.
Well, for me, you know, it's not really. It's just the way the colors look on that mold makes it look like it's a different character than just the ones we've got in the past.
I could see that.
I've always wanted a group of the Pastelicons, just to sort of have them
<That's>...
behind the three main Seekers.
Actually, that's a great point, Don. Okay, we were talking earlier in the show, during the Masterpiece part, about ideas. So we've got several versions of the Seeker mold. What mold could we get lots of repaints off of? RC. If there was an RC mold, we could get several repaints off that. So
RC, Paradron Medic.
Then you do one in brown as Chrome Dome.
It wouldn't even matter. I mean, at that point you could just start, you know, repainting whatever. It wouldn't even match gosh, what was I thinking? You could take all the different versions of RC, like Chromia and all of those, and do those. That would be Alita. Yeah, there was a version of Alita based off of RC. That was based off the Armada RC, right?
It's been a while since we've seen one, so.
And that was also based off the movie, the 2007 motorcycle, too, yeah. Wasn't there?
Ryan, are you serious? Or are you trolling me?
I'm serious, Don. I am 100% serious.
Okay,
oh, yeah, Black Arachnia.
Was there Black Arachnia based off that?
Well, there would have been in Vinyl Tech, but it got the line ended and it got canceled first.
There was a green version of RC. From Armada that came out. That wasn't Paradrom. Paradrom Medic was blue, wasn't she?
They called that Beta.
Beta. We lost Amy.
Oops.
Let's see here. But yeah, there's a lot of versions of that that we could get. That would be great.
And
it would be a Headmaster, most likely. I'm not joking. I'm 100% serious.
Okay.
I want this.
I'm just thinking that they could actually possibly get the Coneheads from the Starscream mold. I'm not sure if the wings would be a problem.
I mean, they've already tweaked it once. They could do some. They could do some tweaking again. I mean, it's worked before. It'll work again.
It's possible.
Because if Igear can do it and sell them, I mean. You know, it should be possible for Takara to do it.
Yeah, all Takara has to do is buy those iGear ones and bootleg them back.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't...
So
yeah.
They'd be standing there in front of iGear like, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Huh?
Let's see, anything else in the news? Jeff Klein, Transformers Prime producer, says Beast Hunters will be a good ending. I wish they said a happy ending. That was it. God, we've spent like over an hour in the news. I am so, so sorry. So let's go ahead and jump to comic news.
Well, no, we spent over an hour having interesting discussions about things tangentially related to the news topics.
Which is what RSC should be all about.
I guess.
So let's go ahead and jump to comic news. This week, guys, you are going to have, what, a review of Spotlight Bumblebee and More Than Meets the Eye number 14?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And let's see here. After that, we are going to jump to Transformers Rewind, which is this week from Robots in Disguise. It's Skybite Saves the Day.
Warning. The following segment may contain spoilers for the most recent Transformers comic books.
All right, so this week we have Spotlight Bumblebee, and we're starting a new story arc with More Than Meets the Eye 14. And Amy has comics news for us first.
Not only do we have two comics out this week, but we also got our next digital series, Monstrosity, the Continuation of Autocracy. It can be purchased. It went up last week, just before Emerald City Comic Con, and they had it up on Thursday evening. I was just amazed that we got it so quickly. I just didn't expect that. But it's a very beefy issue, and you can get it now online. I enjoyed it. So, like I said, very beefy issue. Go check it out now. There was also a sale going on, but by time this is up, since it's ending today, just stay tuned to T-Formers and several different podcasts that have it out there when there's news, when there's sales. You just got to jump on them as soon as possible. And, of course, I always have all of these sales and whatnot blurbed on my Twitter, so follow me on Twitter. Also, Amazon, good old Amazon, that likes to tease things that we don't know when they're going to come out or whatnot. Sometimes the placeholder dates, they change. Well, they've got some up. More Than Meets the Eye, volume number 4. Trade paperback has been placed up there. You can probably pre-order it now. The Transformers Movie Collection Volume 1 is going to be available now in paperback. Up until now, it's been only in hardcover. And then they've got this other little tease. It's the 30th Anniversary Collection. Don't know much about it. It's, like I said, it's just a placeholder. But I will keep my ear to the internet and see if I can't figure out what this is going to be about. Obviously, it's going to be a 30th anniversary collection. I don't know if that's going to collect all things Transformers or if it's just going to be comics. What I'm guessing, because the 30th anniversary is coming up, that it's probably going to be all things Transformers, but we'll see. I will find out more information on that. Also, you can pre-order your Art of the Fall of Cybertron limited edition art book at idwlimited.com, and that's pretty much it. Last but certainly not least, there was a CBR interview that was out last week, of course. And again, you can find that on my Twitter or at various websites. I'm sure T-Formers has it up. And that's it for the news. This is Amy, and I'll see you next week.
So you want to start with Spotlight Bumblebee?
Okay.
You know, start with the one that doesn't really matter, and then we'll go on to what we really want to talk about.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is set close to the end of the previous ongoing series. And it's one of the more formulaic plots I've seen in the IDW book since I started reading them, where it's the typical story of Bumblebee getting no respect as a leader until he goes and performs a stupidly heroic feat somehow. And then suddenly, at least some of his troops decide that, hey, he's all right after all.
Mm-hmm. You know, just may as well start off with it. The big theme at IDW this month is Prowl is a jerk.
Yeah, actually.
Because, you know, here, of course, he's the one who's pretty much decided that he's in charge on Earth, even though it's supposed to be Bumblebee.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if he's actually testing Bumblebee or not, or if he's just a jerk. I'm betting the latter.
Yeah.
But
all signs point to it.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you know, ultimately, Bumblebee does have to step in and say, no, I am actually in charge here.
And I think the point that really cements Prowl being a jerk as opposed to trying to make Bumblebee step up is when Bumblebee goes to him and says, I'm in charge. And then Prowl's like, I'm in charge. Optimus Prime never would have put up with that. Because the logic of that is just so circular.
Yes.
Optimus Prime never would have put up with somebody telling him that he's in charge. What?
Yeah. But yeah, like you said, you know, it is kind of a formulaic plot. I kind of think they might have done that on purpose because, you know, it's supposed to be packed in with a toy. Let's be honest. That is
right.
The purpose of this book's existence. So It's done very well for that, you know, for that kind of formula plot. But I think it was designed to be a little bit more accessible and friendly, not just in terms of content, but in structure to people who have not been keeping up with the IDW comics, probably to a greater degree than the other recent spotlights have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the only part there's two main things that are going to confuse readers that aren't familiar with the backstory. One is why Thundercracker is living in a building with a bunch of TVs. And why Bumblebee's just going and casually talking to him. And the other is the part where Megatron is a prisoner and all the Decepticons are trying to space bridge back home.
Yeah.
Because those are the big things that got wrapped up. Well, the space bridge thing got wrapped up in the end of the last ongoing, whereas Thundercracker's just kind of fallen off the map.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, just to demonstrate Bumblebee as a leader, it makes sense they would use this style of story, but at the same time, it's just, it's not very creative feeling, even if it might have been written well.
Yeah.
The other part of this that I have some issue with is just the art style.
Mm-hmm.
This artist has done work on the Transformers Prime graphic novel, one chapter of that in the past. I haven't seen that. And the structure of the art isn't bad. I can follow the action that's going on. Everybody stays consistent looking. They just stay consistent looking oddly.
Yeah. The one thing I noticed is there are a couple of panels near the end of the book where there are practically no details at all on any of the figures. It's really weird when you look at how indistinct they are. The outlines are there, but none of the details are. And I'm not sure if that is the fault of the inking or the coloring, or if that's what the original penciled art looked like, but it's just to isolate those panels and look at them is really kind of odd, especially, you know, in the context of what's going on in Morden Meets the Eye 14 this month. I mean, not to spoil too much, but they look like an indistinct memory.
Mm-hmm. And since you brought it up, the coloring is another point that I realized was kind of a problem with the presentation of the issue, which is that all the colors are just very rich and saturated, foreground and background.
Yeah.
So while there may be great composition in any given panel, it's kind of being lost in how it's colored.
Yeah.
And I thought the best example of this, too, was the scene in the dark of night where everybody is still these rich, vibrant colors, and that's not how color works.
Yeah.
In the dark, when there's no light, everything's basically grayscale to your eyes. Mm-hmm. You're not going to see a bright purple sound wave, or, well, in Marvel you would see a bright purple sound wave, but you wouldn't also see a bright purple shock wave in the middle of the night with no ambient light sources.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the art on this is probably the weakest of any of the spotlights so far, mm-hmm. but I think the coloring is a really big factor in that.
Yeah.
At this point, I'm really looking forward to the next two spotlights most, because it seems like those might be the ones that were written more concurrently with the current ongoings. So they're probably going to tie in more to what we're really enjoying out of IDW right now and what we're most familiar with.
Yeah, that would be nice. Okay, so just dumb toyish technical question here. We've got Thundercracker, Hoist, and Trailcutter. Has there been another spotlight announced? But because it seems like we've got enough for a second wave of Generations Deluxes here, less one.
To the best I can remember, and I have not watched Amy's news segment yet to be corrected on this if there's been more announcements. To the best I can remember, Hoist is the most recent spotlight that's been announced.
Okay.
So, but there could be another one coming up for July or August. So
yeah. I think there's probably going to be one more, but we'll find out. It's not terribly important.
Yeah, I would assume there will be at least one more, and probably more beyond that, too. I guess it's going to depend what direction the toys end up going in.
Yeah.
Okay, so anything else on Spotlight Bumblebee?
Nothing I can think of, no.
Yeah, no. Okay, so let's get right into it with Morden Meets the Eye 14. Because this is kind of... Okay, so the interview suggested that this story arc is going to be over a much more extended period than what they've been doing, which was usually between 2 and 4 issues for a story arc. This has been suggested as being as much as 8. So that once it's all finished, it could be looked back on like a movie, basically, in their words. So this is basically just the opening act of this extended storyline. And Chrome Dome is probing Overlord's brain. Which, as I mentioned in the T-Formers review, let's call that mistake number one.
Yes.
Although, really, to reach mistake number one, you have to rewind a little bit to the point when someone loaded Overlord onto the Lost Light.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know. And,
of course, we know who that is.
Yes, because we get a handy flashback to that when Overlord starts probing Chrome Dome's brain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would think, since this is like an established science in Cybertronian technology, there would be, like, backhack filters.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, firewalls, something to prevent you from going back into the person who's probing you.
Yeah, well, as they mentioned, you know, doing this on a live subject is not a particularly common or accepted occurrence, so I have a feeling that may have something to do with it.
Maybe so, although from the dialogue, it's still something that is done, so you would think there would be precautions in place against it, especially since they're seeming to imply that Chrome Dome is especially adept at this.
Yeah.
Chrome Dome's flashbacks are a little bit more interesting than the information from Overlord. Which basically Overlord does a keyword search in Chrome Dome's brain for mentions of himself, and we find out how Overlord came to be on the Lost Light. Prowl put him there, of course.
Of course.
And like you said in the Spotlight Mumblebee portion, the theme is Prowl's a jerk, but we also find out Chromedome's not so great either.
Yeah, but again, it's kind of Prowl's fault still, because yes, you just threatened someone with these particular mind-altering skills and mind-reading skills that you want, threatened to divulge his secrets, and you think he is going to do what?
Although, okay, we talked about this before, but you have to consider the way Prowl looks at things. You know, he weighs the probabilities of events happening, and if he thought there was any real chance that Chromedome would rewrite his brain in response to this, he would have more carefully weighed his options at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what we're being shown here is that Chromedome's doing something that Prowl didn't even think him capable of.
Well, true.
You know, it's a more hidden part of Chromedome's personality, I would call it.
Yeah, I will be interested to ultimately find out what Chromedome's big secret is, because I'm hoping that'll come up in this storyline, but as far in advance as they seem to plan, who even knows?
yeah, I mean, yeah, it's bad enough that he did work in the Shadow Plate and the lobotomies, as they called it. But I can't even think of what his skills would be used for that would be even more unsavory than that.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting. I mean, compared to that, he's got a horrible secret. That's impressive. And of course, the other aspect of this is that because he went rooting around in Prowl's brain, he left it accessible enough for Bombshell to take control of him over in Robots in Disguise.
Yeah, so even as much as Prowl was a jerk and things are his fault, what's going on right now is really Chromedome's fault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so collectively, Chromedome and Prowl have managed to screw things up in both books tremendously.
That's kind of amazing, don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay, so going back to Overlord's portion in this, we basically seem to go from Overlord's birth, so to speak, up to Last Stand of the Wreckers, where the prologue in this issue seems to depict Overlord's spark being found in an Energon mine.
Which is just weird.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that's supposed to work, and I think that's something that's probably going to be expanded upon in the future. Because one thing IDW apparently has not really done much to this point is explain how Transformers are created in the modern era.
Yeah.
The annuals introduced the new Guiding Hand origin story, and from that, apparently some portion of the population was created at that time from them, but anybody subsequent to that, which there have been younger Cybertronians since then, mm-hmm. we don't really know what the source is for any of them. So I think this is going to be another part of that puzzle being filled in.
Should be interesting.
But even as remarkable as Overlord was to start with, they then introduced another form of unobtainium, or ununium in this case.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's the right way to pronounce it, but it's the funniest way to pronounce it, so we're going with that. maybe it's ununobtainium.
Why not?
Although, wouldn't that just make it obtainium?
Yeah. Turns out this is an actual element.
It is?
Yeah. Its atomic weight is apparently 113, which is apparently a
number
of great significance to James Roberts, I'm told.
Well, you'll notice I said, oh no, immediately after you announced that number.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of his recurring numbers in his books he works on.
Well, there you go.
So, if I'm remembering right, that's the issue of Marvel UK that got him into Transformers.
Ah, of course.
So he throws that in everywhere he can. Although, I have to admit that using something's atomic weight as the access point for a reference, that's some dedication right there.
Yeah, really.
Okay, so the ununium, at least in this case, takes what they call the 0.1%ers and turns them into Phase Sixers, the most powerful of powerful among the Decepticons.
And the way they describe it working, my first thought, of course, is Weapon X.
Yeah, it kind of seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Of course, I don't remember Weapon X reaching through the glass and crushing someone's skull in his hand. I think that's a new twist.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically we get to see Overlord from birth through the gladiatorial pits to when he becomes a Phase Sixer and then is killed. Not necessarily in that specific sequence, but that's all the events we see from his life.
Mm-hmm.
Or almost killed, I should say.
Yeah.
Because apparently when you get the Anunnium treatment, you just can't die.
Yeah.
You can be reduced to a skeleton and set on fire, but you will still live.
Again, Weapon X.
Yeah, pretty much. So, at the end of the issue, we get the exact ratio of the slow room that he's been stored in on the Lost Light. So apparently for every 5 seconds in the room, 30 minutes passes outside. And as Overlord reverses the situation on Chrome Dome by stealing the access code out of his head, he departs the room saying, "It should only take you about 5 seconds to get to the door, your time."
Mm-hmm.
As he goes off to start a merry little slaughter on the ship. And that's where the issue ends.
Yes.
And it, as I stop to think about it a little bit more, it kind of disturbs me how effectively Overlord's written here, because it's perfectly in character or even thematically appropriate that Overlord's going to leave Chrome Dome alive, probably like to the exclusion of everybody else. He intends to leave him alive so that Chrome Dome, when he gets out of the room, will have no choice but to go and witness the consequences of the mistake he made during the mind probe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just the most evil, sadistic thing he could possibly do to Chrome Dome.
Yes.
And it kind of scares me that he could be written so perfectly in that vein.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
There's not much I can add to that.
Yeah, I know. next month is going to probably be interesting and probably feature some death.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because I'm rather attached to the Lost Light crew, as I imagine most people are.
Yeah, it's going to be a shame. It's going to be interesting to see, but it's going to be a shame.
Yeah. I kind of imagine this is how it was for people reading through Last Stand of the Wreckers month to month. As the casualty list just kept piling up there.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately ending with Iron Fist, who everybody got really attached to over the course of that miniseries.
Yeah.
They kind of have a talent for doing this, and I really hate it.
Yeah.
Well, there was the highlight of our month. What are we going to do for the next 4 weeks?
well, there's Regeneration 1 next week. That's something, I guess.
Oh.
Radio Free Cybertron.
Transformers. Rewind.
This week on Transformers Rewind, Skybite saves the day from Robots in Disguise.
It looks as though Megatron has been using the Psychoprobe to pry information from Dr. Onishi.
Optimus, what are they searching for?
I'm not certain. But it must have something to do with the research Dr. Onishi had been doing just before they kidnapped him. We have to locate the missing O-parts before the Decepticons did.
The CGA Tower is truly in a class by itself. Predacons, it's time to seize the day! Glory will be ours at 3:15 sharp this afternoon. Everyone!
Center laser! Right laser!
Left laser!
They've just attacked the new tower!
Us for the Autobots, Ty. This is an emergency that calls for the build team.
Hey, you little weasel! You want a piece of this?
Ah, how cute!
you, the talking dump truck!
Hey there, that's high-capacity vehicle to you, my furry friend. Now tell me, after you're destroyed, are you willing to donate your parts for charitable construction?
Well,
he's for real.
And how?
You fools! Watch! Destruct! Destruct! Destruct!
What if the Predacons wanted the...
If they wanted what, Ty?
You know, the O...
The O parts?
That's precisely what I mean. And now, you control what happens to my hostages. The O parts are out. Don't make me fill in the blanks.
I'll bring all we have.
Hey, do we know what an O part is?
Nope.
Good news at last. For reasons no one can explain, the Predacons are actually helping keep the tower up.
Skybite is our hero?
I don't believe it.
Huh? Let's go, Skybite! I believe in you! You're doing a great job! Don't give up! Keep it up, Skybite! You can do it!
Hey, wait! Why would they like us?
They're cheering. For me, I've never been cheered for in my entire life. I wish Megatron would cheer for me once.
Skybite, the Foundation's ready.
Thanks, Optimus, we're on our way!
Everybody get ready! 1, 2, 3!
I won't be able to transform again for 3 weeks! I need a chiropractor.
I'm kaput!
You can scratch yourself now, Skybite!
You're right!
But one thing. Skybite and the Predacons were going to destroy the building. Why did they decide to help the hostages after capturing them?
Who knows? But I'm glad they did.
Now this is the life! Yeah, it's a good life when you don't have to carry around a 2-million-ton tower.
Man, that was an unnecessary day. Why on earth did we go through all of that? Oh yeah!
The O-Parts!
Yeah, so Skybite saves the day
I just can't stand Riz.
It's a fun series and it's a fun episode.
And Neil Kaplan, I think, does a phenomenal job as the voice actor for Prime.
I'm sorry, he gets a phenomenal what?
I think he did a good job as Prime, especially in this episode. There's one part in this episode when he's speaking, and I can't tell if Optimus Prime is just, you know, ignorant or not clueless, or if he's being serious or he's being sarcastic. And I think it was when he was, oh goodness, I think Scourge was telling him something, and what was it? I didn't write it down. But he was telling him that he wanted to go, and he wanted to give Skybite the O parts. And Scourge is like, "Oh, you're not going to do that." It's like, "Well, that's okay, but I made a promise. I really need to do that." And it was just kind of, he made a joke, I think, but I couldn't tell.
I can't remember the line offhand.
But yeah, it's just I like Neil Kaplan as Optimus Prime. I don't know that it would work in any other series. I mean, he certainly wouldn't work in Prime. But
I mean, his Optimus Prime has absolutely nothing going on. And that's not a slight against Kaplan. I don't mean like Kaplan's Prime. I mean R.I.D. Prime has nothing going on. Like, he is the archetypical Japanese Autobot leader. Noble burning courage. And that's it. There is nothing happening with that character.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's like a checklist. Befriend small children. Mm-hmm. Save child's father.
Be red.
going back to something that McFeely said in the episode of Rewind that we did about Master Force, like the B-level baddies really do get a lot of personality.
And
they get a lot of personality in Red. And the dub really helps it out as well. I love this episode. I mean, really, it focuses around Skybite and the Predacons. And I really love Skybite. He's my favorite character from Red. Hands down, he's one of my favorite Transformers characters ever, too.
They runner-up for the Hall of Fame last year. Bro, let's get him in there this year.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Hey, and if he does, maybe we can get Peter Spilios back again.
Yes.
That would be great.
So, What are your thoughts around the episode?
Well, you know, I think we can't start this without mentioning the very important thing about this episode, which is that damn Yankees never
didn't
got
get it.
This.
We didn't get it.
No, so, this never happened for y'all.
Yeah, because of 9/11.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. because it features like an episode.
To be fair, it's an episode about like attacking the world's tallest tower. You know, I get it. I'll give you that.
This was going to air the week after, basically.
No, this would have been months later.
Okay.
Yeah, the one that we didn't get, Brian, was where Galvatron shows up crashing through the building.
That's right. That did air later.
That would only have been like. That was going to be like 3 days after 9/11. Yeah, and they did it. But then that and this are just illustrative of how badly Robots in Disguise suffered for its time, because like it's just a cruel, cruel coincidence that these two episodes, are the absolutely key episodes to kicking off the O-Parts plot. Like, the first episode that got bumped was the one where they find Dr. Onishi's microchip. And that's the one that leads them to the Cave of the Dragon later on in the series. And it's, that's where the O-Parts plot starts. But nobody knows, you know, so then whenever this episode doesn't air in America, then they're talking about Dr. Onishi's microchip suddenly. And you're left going, what's that? Where did that come from? What? Huh? And then, I don't know, at this stage, Robots in Disguise is another one of those animes that just kind of gives up after a while and just does one big story that's chopped up into bits at the end, so I can't remember when it starts, but suddenly at one point, as per the dubbed schedule, everybody's talking about O-Parts, and you're like, what's an O-Part? Where did this come from? So then, whenever they eventually created the clip show, the first clip show that was supposed to have aired around the episode 13 mark, but wound up airing in the middle of the O-Parts story in the late 20s, they actually seem like they deliberately recorded the dialogue differently to try and explain at least where the whole O-Parts thing began. Because this episode is where they're mentioned for the first time in actual dialogue. Except and this is what I was talking about in the Cybertron segment, is that it's still remarkably ham-fisted as an introduction to this mysterious plot goes. Because you've got Ty and Optimus Prime standing around in the base going, O-Parts, I know, it's a terrible thing. I know, seriously. And the whole audience is going, explain! but they never do. And the only reason that it gets out beyond that is because Skybite bluffs. Short of Megatron actually then saying in the next scene, nice bluff, Skybite, you wouldn't know, based on the way the dub is done, if Skybite is supposed to be bluffing or if he's just forgotten the name of something he already knew about already. Until the very last scene where he scratches his head and goes, gee, I wonder what the O-Parts are, wink audience, Iris out, they'll be back next episode. It's,
a bluff. It's like
the idea is that it is supposed to be that he is trying to coax Optimus into inventing something of value value
in that sense, but it's not even a bluff in the sense of like, I don't know, like it's worse than a bluff because it's just sort of like, yeah, a thing,
it's like the wrong word, you know,
thing that you got. And the Autobots, and that's like part of the problem. It's like Optimus is dumb enough to go, oh, you mean the O-Parts thing?
That's the one. Yep, that's them.
Gotta be it. He's like, what could be the most important thing I could give you that I have?
You know what? Optimus isn't even dumb to isn't even dumb enough to do that, though it's Ty who has to actually coax him with little hand gestures into telling Skybite what it is that he might want.
Both dumb.
You could say Skybite was fishing for something and he caught something.
This seems like an entire, I mean, that's like part of my problem. This is like an entire series of people not knowing what the hell they're doing. Like, the Predacons don't know what they're doing. The Autobots don't know what they're doing. Megatron sort of knows what he's doing.
Megatron knows what he's doing, sort of.
But the Decepticons don't know what they're doing.
They don't care what they're doing, though. That's important.
But that, well, yes, they don't care. They just but they don't know either. It's just like a whole series of people bumbling around in the darkness.
Now, hold on. Now, this is episode 22, and the Oparts haven't been a thing before now. And they get Dr. Onishi back, and he's able to explain to them what they're doing with the Oparts 5 episodes from now. So it's not like they spend a whole series bumbling through not knowing what they're doing. This is only a thing for like 5 episodes. Adventures!
Yes.
They knew what they were doing.
I can sort of see. I see what JD means as a fan of the series. You know, it's not necessarily. There's not a lot of depth to it. I mean, it very much falls in line with the previous couple of Japanese series, like Beast Wars 2nd and Beast Wars Neo. Yeah. It's just there. It's there to sell toys and to have wacky adventures on screen, and to be colorful and make kids laugh. It just so happens that we got, I think, an inspired dub. And
if that should have been dubbed like straight, it could never be straight because obviously it's a comedy anyway.
Yeah.
But if they hadn't like gone out of their way to rework the dub to have some slightly more Western humor in it,
like all the stuff with the little red sports car, if that hadn't been done badly, that would have just been really creepy.
Oh, yeah.
That could have been like really creepy. The series, the source material was really thin, but it's just such a fun show, and I just, like, with this episode especially, with Skybite, feeling, like, this sense of fulfillment when all of the hostages start cheering him on, I'm like, that's awesome, because I've been there, I know exactly how he feels, I can really relate to Skybite, sadly.
I've tried to do something horrible to people, and then had them like me for it.
How do you think I got married? I mean, it's true. So, Skybite's such a great character. The other Predacons, I mean, to me, I don't necessarily differentiate between them.
No, they are three parts of a whole.
Yeah, but Skybite is just this sort of great, unique character, and he really, to me, drives the series.
I mean, their attack is three parts of a whole. I mean,
left laser, right laser.
Laser.
Because it's the only one left.
But I think ultimately what we really get out of like this episode and in general is that JD is just wrong.
Okay. That's a problem.
I'm fine with that.
You know what though is that the point is that I have such apathy for this series that I don't even care that you think I'm wrong. Because it's like I don't care about it enough to even like fight for it. I just don't care. I think maybe it's not that I hate the series, it's just that I have complete apathy for it.
You know, I really enjoyed rewatching it, though, just because I haven't watched any Robots in Disguise in ages, and I really enjoy just hearing the English cast of this era, because the dub voiceover world has experienced a very high turnover rate in the last little while, with all the most talented actors going off to work in real cartoons. So whenever I watch a dub these days, like from the LA end of things, it's all full of people I don't know anymore. So going back to this show from like the heyday of the era, and you can hear the cast of Digimon and all those other Saban dub projects, it's just really nice to hear a lot of them again.
It's nostalgia.
I mean, I don't know who gets nostalgic for years off the top of my head.
Wally Wingwert, that guy that was a porn actor, and now he's like a super Christian.
No, that's Wankus. Wally Wingwert went on to be Ant-Man in Avengers.
No, that's what I was saying. Him
and that other guy, yeah. He's like an evangelist now.
Yeah, I was talking with him via email, and he's like, "Yeah, I would love to do your show. I would love to tell you about all of this stuff."
Do you have some time to talk about
I haven't heard from him in like 3 years.
Well, perhaps not the good news then.
Yeah. So we are back, and with us we have Allie Viper this week. Allie Viper is awesome. Cree on Allie Viper. I love this toy. Thank you, Chris Triplett, for picking this up for me. And screw you for getting all the other G.I. Joe Creons, and they were sold out when I got there. I should have known better than to go, like, when they were buy one, get one half off. If I had realized that, I would have picked up all the Micro Change Series 2, but they were, I didn't realize that, so I ended up actually getting a couple more stuff. I actually got 2 sets of G.I. Joe Creons, and I pretty much got all the Creons that I wanted at the price of buying the blind pack figures. So I got Snake Eyes, Storm Shadow, two Red Ninjas, Law and Order, and of course my favorite G.I. Joe character, Firefly. I was able to get two sets, five figures, $20. If I'd got the blind packs, it would have been about that tax. So I'm happy, and I got Firefly out of it. So eventually I will get all of the blind packed figures, and possibly the sets too at some point. And let me just say, next week on Transformers Rewind, Don, it's the episode, we're doing Rebirth.
All right, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this just went up on T4's front page, Brian.
What is
apparently,
it?
Apparently, Beast Hunter's Bumblebee is getting into Stealth Repaint.
Yes! That's the news I've been waiting for!
Yeah, it looks like they're going to use the original model for Bumblebee. He's not going to be based on the new toy, but they're going to move him to the Shadow Strike colors. So
they reskinned the show model.
Mm-hmm.
Big spenders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so happy.
That's the paradise of minimal Bumblebees is over, apparently.
Well, they're probably not going to re-release the toy for it, so I think we're still safe.
Yeah. No, but people who want a show-accurate Beast Hunters lineup are now going to be scrambling around trying to get that Shadow Strike Bumblebee they've been ignoring for the last 6 months and is now gone.
It's good that he's going to be stealth because he doesn't talk.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Okay. So, well, I guess that's it for this week. Big news week. Huge news week. It's fun. XV, thank you for being back and talking about stuff. And Amy, it was great to have you back on this week.
It's good to be here. It was a great discussion.
Yes.
Even though I didn't say much, but still, it was great listening to you guys.
I didn't actually get a chance to ask you. I know that Rob and XV are reviewing some comics, but do we have any news this week that you're going to bring up during the show?
Not during the show. I pretty much covered it in the comics section with Robin XV.
That's what I meant. So good.
Yeah.
Because I actually haven't seen it yet. I don't know that they've recorded anything. So.
We're doing that next. Matter of fact.
That's awesome. Yeah. So.
Shh, don't give away the secrets.
This happens out of order. What?
You just broke the podcasting community.
Non-linear storytelling.
All their secrets are out there.
No.
I'll be explained with four words. Wibbly, wobbly, timey-wimey.
Oh, don't pull a Fort Max on me, Don.
And let's see here. So next week on the show, we're going to have a new episode of Transformers Rewind. It'll be The Rebirth. I'm assuming we'll probably have the next episode. Let's see. What is it? Darkness Rising Part 5. In Transformers Prime. You think you and Nicole will have that?
Yes, definitely.
Any comics reviews coming up next week, guys?
I think Regeneration 1 comes out next week, but other than that,
yeah,
I'm not certain.
It does.
Okay.
And possibly, I don't know if you guys were getting Monstrosity or not, but, you know.
No, we
haven't. That came out as well.
So, we had Autocracy, and we all called it Atrocity. And
you're kind of jumping in front of it this time.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of great.
Yeah, the first issue came out last Thursday. I just happened to be watching Twitter at the time, and I had a couple people tweet at me, say, "Hey, it's out." So I went and bought it. It's a beefy issue for 8 pages. I was like, oh, wow. So
right now, we tentatively have an interview next week, which will be recorded tomorrow.
Cool.
So we hope. It should happen. Assuming,
it'll all go good.
Assuming technology follows suit, that'll be...
screwed.
Yeah, of course.
If tonight is an indication.
Yeah. And I guess...
Well, we got Don working, so I think we'll be safe.
Yeah. Don actually eventually did end up working. JD did not, though.
That's okay.
Yeah, we were trying to do JD. We're not trying to do JD. We were trying to do JD from his bed. We were trying to have JD on the show from his bed this week. Via his phone, but it just didn't work out, so.
Faithful listeners of Superhero Time will know to insert the sour cream reference approximately here.
Yeah, JD is not feeling well. He actually did make superhero time. Did he do it from bed?
No. Or at least he claims he didn't.
Yeah, so any big news from superhero time this week or anything that listeners should be on the lookout for?
Nothing I can repeat on this show.
Okay, good. Hey, Don, real quick, I wanted to ask you something. When are we going to do that Dinner with Don segment that I wanted to record? When are we getting together to do that?
We'll have to compare our schedules and get something worked out when I can be down that way and you can drive up to Greensboro, or I'm over in Winston, one or the other.
Let's do that.
We need to do that.
Okay, good. Hey, Amy, so you have your own podcast. Tell us about it.
I do. It's called The Underbase, and we review, thoroughly review, all Transformers comics. We've got the classics. We've got tons of stuff. So everything that's out there, we go for it.
And how do you get to it?
You can go to theunderbase.libsyn.com.
Very.
You can also follow me on Twitter as well, which is Lady of Wreck, and I blast that out there all the time.
And your Facebook, your Facebook page?
Facebook page, same thing, facebook.com/LadyWreck.
Very cool. Hey, Rob, how do we get a hold of you, and where else are you at?
Okay, well, I am at XB and I are collectively at Figure Reviewers, where we've been doing our 8th anniversary thing this week. We've been doing actual Transformers reviews on our own site for a change, so this was nice.
That was Massey, by the way, rubbing up against Don.
Okay.
For the audio listeners.
Elsewhere... if you want to hear me and XV and my brother and his girlfriend catch up on all the Minecraft talk that we did not do this week since JD was out, go to flailthroughs.blogspot.com. And we'll be sure to go back to boring everybody with that before the show next week.
Good, 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 good. And XV is in hell, so you can catch him there. Yes. And I am at facebook.com/BrianKilby and Twitter at BKilby. And, of course, you can find us at facebook.com/TF Radio and on Twitter at TF Radio. Just go to tfradio.net. You can get all of our social links there. We are actually now on Tumblr. Apparently, I've had a Tumblr account for like 3 years, and I'm just now using it. So, and Pinterest. Oh yes, we are pinning
Pinterest
it.
Pinterest is the best.
Pinterest is the bomb.
It sucks all your time away. Just warning, you know.
Yeah. That's very true. Okay, so I guess that will do it this week. Don't forget, join us in the chat, tfradio.net/live, every Wednesday. It's awesome. We have a great chat. You know, I went to the chat this week, and I saw so many people there, and I realized we hadn't even posted the T-Formers yet. So we have a very dedicated group of people. So thank you,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, it's a pretty awesome week for the chat this
week. Yeah, it's been a great week for the chat. Yeah, so don't do that. Join us live. And after the show, we do a live Google Plus Hangout. Circle us at tfradio.net/gplus. That's it. For Massey and the guys, we will be seeing you next week. Have a good one.
See ya.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.